Jesus said on that Last Supper, on the night in which Judas would betray Him, Jesus said, "This cup, it's the third cup of the Passover Seder. This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in My blood." Notice He said it was a covenant made in blood. That today escapes us because we don't truly understand the full implications of the culture of that day. So I'd like to take us back to Genesis chapter 15, where Jesus where God inaugurated the cornerstone agreement with God's people through Abraham. We saw last week, who are Abraham's children? All who believe in Jesus. That's why Ephesians makes a statement over and over again. In Christ. Apart from Christ, nothing. In Christ, everything. But when we look at the cross and we look at these things and we don't understand, why is there death? Why is there these kind of things being mentioned? I want to explain. I used to watch in the 90s Legal TV. Remember that channel? It's now True TV. But every Saturday they'd have a man who would lecture on constitutional law. And I learned a lot of things just by sitting there. Just gotten out of my last seminary program. And I'd sit there and I learned as he'd go hour after hour and explain law in America. And it's based on tradition. Our law is based on Roman law. Roman law is based on British law. And then you have American law as the capstone. Well, when you go to sign maybe a mortgage, you know how we do it today? You want a mortgage so that the Fed can own you forever and ever, amen? You have to provide to them, as part of our legal agreements, all of your financial documents, your employment, everything about you, your credit rating. That's how we make agreements today, so that they can enslave you in debt. Unless you've paid off your mortgage and you are very much to be congratulated. Good luck for some of us on doing that. But you see, we do things differently. In England, they used to have debtor's prison. Did you know that? As a matter of fact, do you know that over half of the settlers, more than half, three-fourths I think it is, of the settlers that came to America actually were indentured servants or slaves working land for the landowners in England? Did you know that? They used to have debtor's prisons. By the way, they're bringing it back in America with all of this debt. Many people are being thrown in jail. I read one story, a man for $300 worth of debt ended up in jail. Debtor's prison. They signed a document. And if they didn't pay, they went to debtor's prison or bankruptcy court. And then you lose your credit for 7 years. You're never safer than when you lose your credit for 7 years. You say, why are you talking about that? Because we have to understand that that's the way we understand and do things today. Suppose you wanted to make an agreement in ancient times that absolutely was the most solemn, serious agreement you could make. You know how countries sign now? They have the president, he takes his pen, and he does a O first, and then he hands the pen to someone behind him because he signed it, and then he does his B, and he hands the pen, and then A, yeah, thanks, and he hands his pen. And M, and he hands his pen. That's what they do. They did it with Bush. He could only do four pens, I guess, and Obama got more. But they have a big ceremony and everything today, and it's solemn. But in those days, when you wanted to make an absolutely most serious agreement of agreements. See, in those days it was different. Today we don't kill people if they break agreements, do we? You don't go to debtor's prison and no one executes you if you don't fulfill your part of the bargain, because we consider ourselves more civilized. In those days, when you made a solemn agreement and you wanted to show just how sure you were that you will fulfill that agreement, there was a special contract to show the greatest, most solemn, serious agreement. And in that most solemn, serious agreement, you would pledge that if you don't fulfill this, you would die. The other person in the agreement could literally take your life if you don't keep your word on this bargain. And so in Genesis 15, God condescends or comes down to Abraham's level. He says, Abraham, I'm going to make an agreement with you that you and your seed, who's the seed now? You know. Who is it? Us. I'm going to make a promise to you and your seed, and I'll tell you how absolutely serious I am. I'm going to sign one of your contracts that you have, and I'm going to pledge, if I don't keep the bargain, then I'm subject to the penalty of death. This was the most solemn agreement that you could make in the old days to someone. You could make agreements without death. But if you really wanted them to know just how serious you were, you'd say, if I don't keep my promise, then I will die. So this is the story that happens. God told Abraham, look at the stars in 15:5, and so shall your descendants be. And if I don't keep my word on this, I will die. Be subject to death. And here is how he showed that. So God said to him in verse 9, how serious are you? Abraham said. I'll tell you what, Abraham, I'll pledge my very life that I will fulfill what I have promised. God was pledging his very life in condescending to this agreement that men made in those days. God couldn't have been more serious or more visual in what he was intending. He said, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he bought all of these to him and cut them in two. Who died in this? When you made the agreement, the death of the animal was symbolic that if I don't keep my part of this bargain, you can subject me to death like these animals were subject to death. That meant if God doesn't keep his side of the bargain, death. So what is also interesting in this agreement is that when they decided to sign the agreement after the symbolic death of the animals, God does something to Abraham. He puts him to sleep. And God alone walks through this pieces, these pieces of animal. And Abraham's just sitting there completely out of it, but he can see God walking. He just sees the smoking pot. What they would do is the two people would take the hands of this smoking pot and they'd walk through it saying, if I violate this, my penalty is death. But when God signed the contract of the Abrahamic covenant with Abraham, guess who alone walked through it? God Himself walked through that thing, and Abraham wasn't allowed to sign in that sense. In other words, God took Abraham's pen away and said, this whole covenant, I sign. And if I do not fulfill this covenant, I have the penalty of death. So we see when God made the covenant with Israel, He said to Israel, I want you to sign it with the death of animals. Meaning, if Israel, you don't keep this bargain with me, guess what Israel got? Death. But the thing that the book of Hebrews says is this. You see that cross? Jesus did not sign the new covenant with the death of animals. What makes the new covenant so wondrously superior and incomparable to the old is Jesus Christ sealed His promise to His people that He would save them and come back for them. He sealed it with His own blood. Do you know what that says? That if Jesus doesn't keep His part of the bargain in the new covenant, He is subject to death. So certain is salvation that Jesus said, I'll sign it with my own death. God raised Him from the dead and He said, if I don't keep my promises to my people in Christ, I am subject to the penalty of death. God Himself has put His very life on the line in the promises He made to you. That's how certain God will fulfill it. He signed it in Jesus' blood, the new covenant. That means this. I don't care what the evolutionists say. I don't care what the government says. Jesus said, I will fulfill it. And if I don't, my penalty is in the new covenant, death. So if Jesus doesn't come back for His church, if Jesus doesn't inaugurate His kingdom, He has taken an oath sealed in His own blood that He is subject to death. God has sworn by His own Son. That's how certain the promises to God's people are. I'd ask the ushers, if they would, to pass out the elements that symbolize this contract that God has made in the new covenant. In my history of America, correctly, Alexander Hamilton was shot in a duel. You know, you could do that in those days. You violate agreement and they could pace off. You ever see people that's back to back and they walk? And nowadays, we're too sophisticated. You sign an agreement, countries sign agreements, and they lie, cheat, and steal on those agreements. But you see, it says in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. And what that meant was, God sent His Son in a time in which if you made a promise, you had better keep it, or the penalty is what? God signed your salvation through the blood of His Son, saying that if I don't fulfill what I promised you, the penalty that I get for not fulfilling my word to my people in Christ is death. That's why God sent His Son just at the right time to show you His very seriousness about the new covenant. It's not a cheap agreement. He sealed it with the blood of His Son in the fashion of agreements of that day to show you how serious He was about your salvation. Shall we take the bread and eat? What sealed that covenant was blood. And when we take this cup, God is saying to you through the blood of this covenant, I am certain of my fulfillment of my promises. Shall we take and drink? Our Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that God signed the covenant, the new covenant, with the blood of His Son to say that I am so sure of this covenant for my people and I will fulfill it, that if I don't, I must die. Thank You, Lord, for the certainty of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.